welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop.
Show.
We're broadcasting, as always, on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, Chris and I are here to delve deep into the world of comic books and share our thoughts and stories with you.
That's right.
Our dear listeners.
And for those of you who are new to our show, we always like to start the show out with a sponsor who will sponsor the New This Week.
Yes, and today's New This Week sponsor, New This Week, brought to you by Birthday Cakes. They encourage you to blow, and that's a good thing.
You're talking about blowing out the candles.
Absolutely. Yes. That's what birthday cakes are all about.
Absolutely.
Making a wish.
Make a big wish and a big
blow. Blow out the candles.
That's right. Right.
Sometimes those things go hand in hand, Chris.
That's right. Anyway. We're going to talk a little bit about Marvel later on in the show. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to save the Marvel titles that I have here in my hot little hand for later.
Later.
We're going to talk about Marvel a little later.
Right. So, that's a departure from our normal.
How we like to actually, procedures. You know, well, normally we just sort of do it haphazardly and don't really have any plan whatsoever. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this up a notch here, and we'll actually have a bit of a plan here.
I like it, Chris. All right, what have you picked out for New This Week?
Okay, for New This Week, I've got Action Comics from the DC Universe Rebirth, Action Comics number 975.
Get out!
975.
Already!
And this is Superman Reborn. Now, this is a supersized anniversary issue featuring a bonus story with Paul Dini and Ian Churchill. Now, Dan Jurgens has kind of taken the helm of writing the Superman Reborn. Of course, Dan Jurgens was popular for doing the whole Doomsday scenario when Superman died years ago. So he's doing the writing, and Doug Mankey is doing the penciling. Some people call him Monkey. Some people call him Mankey.
I call him Minky.
Minky. Doug Minky. There you go. And so this is interesting storyline about Superman being reborn, and that is on your local newsstands today.
Hey, Chris, you're taking my job away.
Oh, sorry,
Action Comics number 975 is at your local comic book shop today.
Is that on today?
Today.
Okay, today. Yeah. Right. Okay. Next up, we've got what else?
Hold on, Chris. Let me back that up. Beep, beep, boop, boop. When you handed me the comic,
yes,
it disconnected from when you were talking.
Oh, why is that?
Well, when you were talking and you said this is one of those supersized issues.
It is a supersized issue.
And then
issue.
When you gave it to me, it felt like a regular comic.
Oh.
I go, boy, they're really kind of stretching what a supersized issue is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
what'd
they get?
Yeah.
Like, two extra pages in
well,
that?
Well, let's just take a look here.
Quick, well, I don't have to count.
No,
but
let's just take a look at the so-called backup story here. Let's see how many pages it really is.
Because when I got the comic, I go, where's the supersized issue?
You know, maybe they just have thinner pages these days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like rice paper.
I don't know. It seems like it's a bit bigger.
It's a bit bigger, is it?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey. Anyway, go. You decide for yourself at your local comic.
Decide how
show.
Big it is for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up from DC, we also have DC Universe Rebirth, Justice League of America number 2. Now, of course, this is the whole relaunch of the Justice League of America, they've kind of got, it's not your usual team. They've got Lobo and the Ray and Killer Frost is involved there, as well as, Batman, of course, and Black Canary. Anyway, a whole bunch of people that you don't really expect to be on the Justice League of America. I remember they tried that kind of a storyline years ago. Remember they had Batman and the Outsiders years ago, where Batman was the main key figure, and they had all the kind of ne'er-do-wells. And even after that, they had all kinds of Justice Leagues where really there wasn't a whole lot of major characters in it, like not like the original Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Justice League of America, The Extremists, Part 2 by Steve Orlando and Philippe Watanabe. I think it's
Watanabe.
And Scott Hanna's doing the inking.
All right, listen, Chris, you said something very prophetic without even knowing that you said something very prophetic.
Yeah.
In one sentence, in one phrase, in one turn of speech, you said the words. In that same phrase, you said the words rebirth, reborn, and relaunched.
Yes.
Which was kind of like, as soon as you were saying that stuff, and I'm looking at that Superman Reborn with the rebirth thing on it and the relaunch and thing. That's what's wrong with comics today. Oh, everything totally is re.
Everything's re.
Re.
Rebirth.
Redone.
Relaunch.
Relaunch. Refried beans.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Hey, Justice League of America. No. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Number two.
All right.
At your local comic book shop.
I'm going to go on to an Image comic now.
That's good.
And we've got Planetoid Praxis, number two. Now, you're probably asking yourself, what the heck is Planetoid Praxis number two all about? Well, I believe I talked about the first one when it first came out, and I said it was kind of like a heavy metal kind of storyline looking kind of book, and it still is. It still looks very interesting. I like the storyline. I like the art. A broad scope of science fiction to the artwork. Lots of cool stuff going on, and this one is by Ken Gehring. How daring of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the story, the art, and just some really awesome artwork, actually. I really, really like the way it turns out. Anyway, that All is right. Planetoid Praxis.
Chris is a big fan of Planetoid Praxis. That's from Image.
From Image.
And that's number two, and that's out at your local comic book shop today.
That's right.
What else we have, Chris?
All right, so next up we've got...
Because people want to know.
People do want to know. It's very true.
They do. Some of them are right now... They're in their parking lot of their local comic book shop listening, but they don't want to go in yet because you're not done.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, they you know what? They're going to have to wait a few more minutes.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. So
it'll be worth the wait.
This next one is Dark Horse Comics, and I love this. So Richard Corbin, speaking of heavy metal, here's a guy that started out a lot of the artwork that we're used to seeing from Richard Corbin we saw in heavy metal years ago with Den and that kind of thing. In fact, his Den storyline was even adapted into the heavy metal animated movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we've got Richard Corbin's Shadows on the Grave, and this is of course a horror story by Richard Corbin, and of course it's got fantastic Richard Corbin artwork in it, and I just love his artwork, love his stories, and this one is Shadows of the Grave part 3 of 8. So you know what, if in fact you're at all interested in cool artwork and horror, you got to check this out. Richard Corbin.
All right, that is Shadows on the Grave from Richard Corbin. That's number three. That's from Dark Horse. And that is at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, well, let's see. What else do we got here? We got... So this is interesting.
Uh-huh.
This is by Dynamite.
Dynamite!
And this is The Big Lie, number one. Now this
The Big
is,
Lie.
This is The Big Lie, number one. Now, this is the Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, number one. From Dynamite, so it's by Anthony Del Cole, who I'm pretty sure did Kill Shakespeare. Canadian boy, writer and artist is Werther De La Dera, and it's basically they're kind of I like the story, I like the artwork, I like how the artwork is sort of reminiscent of something you may have seen in a Nancy Drew or Hardy Boys kind of cover. Right, and when you look on the inside, cover itself of this one, but the cover on the the artwork on the inside.
Yeah,
it's sort of like a simplistic but interesting storyline, storytelling to it.
Fantastic! I love when they do that. I love when they try to match the art to the content.
Yeah, right? It's awesome.
Fantastic! Hey, Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. That's number one. The Big Lie, and that's from Dynamite, and that's at your local comic book shop today.
All right, and before I get into the Marvels, I got one more here. This one's by IDW.
IDW.
Great stuff coming from IDW. This one is Back to the Future, Biff to the Future.
You know what? Too bad Shecky Feltstein
wasn't
here
I know.
This week. We're expecting Shecky in.
One of these days.
He's away doing big producing work. So.
Yeah. So this is Biff to the Future, and this is all, of course, about Biff, the character from Back to the Future, and sort of an alternate storyline.
Biff!
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Biff to
Get
the Future.
Get your dang hands off her, Biff.
Number two from IDW, available at your local comic book shop. Hey, Chris just touched on a couple of them here, but there's lots more at your local
I got two more.
Well,
The Marvel ones.
Oh, right. Okay. Never mind then. Keep going, Chris. Yeah, you're doing a good job.
All right.
I'm here for you. Though.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I'm glad we're so in tune with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Kingpin, number two from Marvel. And this is Running with the Devil.
Running with the Devil.
Running with the Devil. This one is, of course, by Matthew Rosenberg and Ben Torres. So this is, of course, all about Kingpin. Now, Kingpin seems to have really taken on new life from the Daredevil TV show. Of course, Kingpin was always a great character, but it seems like people are a little bit more interested in Kingpin now than they were before. I've always
Chris, I'm going to take you into the Marvel executive boardroom. Right, by the way, that's Kingpin number two. It's at your local comic book shop. So we're part of the meeting.
Yeah.
Right now, there's about 15 big wigs there. There's Stan over in the corner.
Yeah.
Doing something.
Having a drink.
Having a drink. And so they're going, all right, there. Look, JB, I got a plan for a title.
Yep.
Kingpin.
Kingpin.
What do you think? So this young brainwave kid goes, excuse me, sir. I've done the numbers and the charts. And never in the history of the Marvel Universe has a villain supported his own title more than three issues long. My data suggests that this is not a good idea. Yeah, that kid's washing cars now.
Hey, listen here, JB.
Yeah. Look here, kid.
Look here.
You don't know a thing about things.
You don't know about things or anything.
All right. Yeah. So get that kid out of here.
Yeah. Go give me a coffee.
So, right? Yeah. So my point is...
Bear claw.
My point is, well, why even try it?
I know. You know what? But you know what? They've always tried it. DC tried it years ago with the Joker. Marvel's trying it again now with Carnage.
Uh-huh.
They always try to do it with villains, and it doesn't always work. Deathstroke, the Terminator, has his own series for a while.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of them out there that try. Ultimately, they don't
track records aren't that good. I know. So you got to be really confident in what you're doing there.
I know. Last up. I want to talk about variant covers. I'm actually going to mention variant covers later on in the show as well. Mm-hmm. But Gwenpool. So last week we talked.
Hey, wait a minute. Gwenpool's still going?
Gwenpool's still going. It's issue 13.
Good for her.
I know, right?
God bless her.
You know what? You should sell your first appearance now while she's still hot.
I don't even have the first appearance.
No, I'll sell you mine.
Okay, what is the first appearance of Gwenpool?
Well, you know, if you.
I think I know that one.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll start the trivia now, but the first cover appearance appeared on Deadpool's Secret Wars number 2 or 3. It could have been 3.
Uh-huh.
I think it was 3.
Yeah.
And that was a alternate variant cover where she was floating in a pool.
That's the one. Yeah.
So that's sort of the first appearance, but that's a cover appearance. Her first comic book inside appearance was in Howard the Duck number 1 of the third series. Second of the recent series.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Howard the Duck.
Good for you.
But anyways, I just like the cover on this one because she's being venomized.
Right.
Last week we had a venomized cover.
Yeah,
this
I remember
week
that.
We're going with the venomized.
I remember that. Wow.
I like those.
That is a swanky cover right there. Gwenpool swanky. Number 13. She's venomized and she's available at your local comic book shop. And like I was saying before, Chris's a few that he selected this week. It's just a sampling of the treasures you're going to find at your local shop today. So head on in and peruse the new this week.
Small smattering. All right, you know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here before we go on into industry news.
All right.
And you know what? I know the kind of music you like.
You do, do you?
I think I do. And I think you're going to like this one. Let's just, let me see if you can pick it up as to what it is. Let me know what you think about it afterwards, all right?
I will.
All right, here you go.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
I love that, Chris.
Yeah? Did you figure out what that song was?
It was Kung Fu Fighting.
Hey, there you go.
I love that. You know what the saddest part of all of that is?
What's
I remember
that?
When that came out. Oh, man. Dating myself there.
Now, Now, do you know who the singer is, though?
Yeah.
Do you really? I would never have known it.
No, I do. But I don't forget his name. He was a black guy that wore, in his video, he wore the Mr. Miyagi, you know, the headband thing.
Yeah,
and it was cutting through his fro, which was
nice,
awesome,
nice,
right?
Nice.
Something Womack or Wim...
It says according to my records here, it was Carl Douglas.
Probably right. Probably right. Anyway.
I could be wrong about that. That's what says in my records here.
Right. Well, good job, Carl. We love that song.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, it takes us into the next segment of the show, which is Industry News.
Industry News.
And Industry News has a sponsor. Industry News is sponsored by One Hit Wonders.
One Hit Wonders.
Hey, who are you to knock them? Homeboy's getting paid.
That's right.
All right. Because, as you know, Kung Fu Fighting was a one hit
wonder.
That's
right. Yeah, right. That's right.
All right, Chris, let's start. I think today's kind of like a... Obviously not a special day, because every day I'm with you, Chris, is special.
Oh, well, you're such a sweet guy.
Yeah, I know. But today, I think our first topic, I think we usually wait on topics like this for a little bit later in the show, but I have a feeling I'm going to be exhausted after this topic, so perhaps we should tackle it while we're still fresh.
While we're still fresh.
While our beverages still have a little bubbles in them.
All right, sounds good.
So let's first talk about the comic book market in February.
Yep.
Apparently, it was down 4.11% compared to February of last year. That's a combination of graphic novels and comic books.
Okay.
And for the first 2 months of the year, we are down combined a total of 3.76% for comic books and graphic novels.
Right.
Now, you know, not a huge drop, but still concerning in the sense that there's a drop. Now, something like that, see, I'm not privy to the information from last year.
Right.
A drop of 3.76% could almost be attributed to one or two major releases during that period last year that really spiked the numbers.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe a huge incentive thing where one of those dumb things where you buy a million copies and you get one incentive cover or something.
Yep.
So I don't know, but still, we're down and it's down.
Okay.
So it's a topic of concern. I think right now, local comic book shops have to be looking at these numbers and saying, okay, hey, you know, probably most local comic book shops are going to look at their numbers at the end of the month and say, ho, I think the percentage of my sales to brand new comics and brand new graphic novels are a little too high. I'm a little too tied to them.
Right.
I should be considering what else can I do in my storefront
to
attract business.
That's a great idea. Right. I totally agree with that.
You have to you have to have more baskets so you're not as reliant on baskets like this.
I agree.
I don't think you should neglect these baskets. You should keep promoting them and have the selection. But what I've been lately on a kick talking to other local comic book shops that I know, we keep in touch. We have a little club.
A little comic book club?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Can I come to one of your club meetings?
Absolutely not. We're all stressing the fact that we're in a knowledge-based industry.
Right.
And we're in a very diverse industry, and we have to kind of all be aware that there's still a good market for the secondary goods, secondhand goods.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to preach to local comic book shop keeps that are listening to this show. Try to expand your knowledge of secondhand goods.
Right.
Where you can buy and sell used old comics.
Yes.
Used old video games. Used old toys that are comic related. That kind of stuff.
Yep, yep.
Don't be reliant on the diamond invoice to make your money. Right.
Right.
Obviously, that's the most important part of your business, but it doesn't have to be the only part.
No, of course not. And generally, now I know that when you buy old comics, that's got to be a tricky go, right?
Uh-oh.
Because as a comic book store, as a comic book lover, when I go to a comic book store, I want there to be lots of comics.
Right.
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 A great big selection of back issue comics.
Yes.
That I'll probably never buy.
Right.
Right.
But you love looking at them.
I love looking at them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's part of the problem is, a store needs to have a big inventory of
stuff. And they have to hold money.
And they have to hold money into it.
I know.
Right?
I know.
So
I
what
know.
Do you do, right? What do
well,
you
Well, luckily the times are changing a bit for local comic book shops and the comics of the 60s and the 70s are really not that important to the health of a local comic book shop like they used to be.
Right.
I think there's enough of a vibrant, exciting market for comics of the last 15 years, from 2000 and on.
Right.
When you're looking at examples like Saga,
yep,
Walking Dead,
yep,
Why the Last Man, Fables,
yep,
never mind the myriad of great variant type issues of things like Deadpool,
yep,
Harley Quinn.
Yep.
That market's pretty robust right now.
Are you talking about the variant comic issues?
Comic issues, but even early issues.
Okay.
You know, like, yep, just in early, general. Early in thing. General, what we're finding is the back issue comic buyer.
Right.
Is coming in more interested in comics of the last 15 years,
right,
than they are of that period from, let's say, 1955 to 1975.
Well, you know, they're certainly more affordable. Right?
Absolutely more affordable.
You know, it's hard for somebody to come in and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to buy that, you know, number 7 of Amazing Spider-Man that I'm going to have to pay $300 for in a beat-up condition.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or I can buy a brand-new copy of Deadpool or let's say Gwenpool, number 1, and in a decent shape for $50.
But you touched on it, and there is something there in terms of the old books. But what we have to realize is, because you and I are old-timers, Chris.
Old-time comic guys.
Old-time guys. And we have to realize that there's young guys. And that's the beautiful part about comic shops now, is you have to realize that there's a lot of girls and guys in their 20s and 30s that,
right,
are collecting.
Right.
So that's the, okay, when you're talking about picking up the Spidey 7,
yep,
you know, some of it's collecting, and those guys, the bell curve has moved through on those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all about nostalgia and your personal tastes. Now, there are still guys spending the big money for investing in,
right,
things like Spider-Man 6 and 1 and all that,
yep,
stuff.
Yep.
But when you're talking about people that are 30 years old,
yeah,
they're going to want to collect the things that they like.
Right.
And they're liking Gwenpool and Harley Quinn
and Deadpool and that kind of
stuff. So that's a healthy sign that, you know, the comic book collecting, how can I say it, community is alive and well. But you, the comic shop owner, have to adapt to this. And you have to, you know, I'm as old-timer as you can get. That stuff's crap.
You're getting there. Yeah,
yeah,
you're getting
but
there.
Buddy, I can't think like that. I got to think, you know, that's gold, Jerry.
That's
right. That stuff's gold.
That's right. It is gold. Because
I've been beating it into me by the guys at the shop. Walt, forget FF. Forget old Fantastic Fours.
Yeah, people want the new stuff.
You want Deadpool.
Yeah, they want Saga. They want Deadpool.
They want that stuff.
Yeah,
so you got to learn, right? So you got to give, you know what? I don't know. There must have been a song, but it's give the people what they want.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. Hey,
now,
Chris, so.
Having said that.
Yeah.
Having said to give the people what they want, that leads into what we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Well, yeah, because I noticed the top 10 as we were talking about the market declining.
Yep.
What I found interesting, Marvel still holds the lion's share of business for the month.
Yeah,
at 30.
How is this all possible?
They have more titles. So nickel and diming their way to
the
top.
Okay, right? Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
They got 37% of the market. DC has 30, Image has 10, and the rest of the guys add up to the rest.
Yeah.
What I found interesting was the top 10.
Right, the top 10 of the actual issues that are selling for the comics. So this is interesting. So I'm just going to say, number one off the list, which is something I never thought I'd see, is Star Wars Darth Maul number 1.
Mm.
So it's not a DC, it's not a Marvel, it's not even Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It's Darth Maul, it's a Star Wars property.
Well, it's a Marvel, but
it's not a true Marvel.
Continuity Marvel, Universe Marvel.
Yeah, not Marvel Universe Marvel.
Right.
It's a Marvel comic because it's published by Marvel.
Marvel.
But it's Darth Maul number 1. So it's about a character that died in the first Phantom Menace. You know, but
the only thing I can think of.
But see, obviously, they brought him back.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, there must have been a heavy incentive program for that.
Could have been. Yeah. Could have been. But it's also high priced, $4.99.
Woof.
That's expensive.
Yeah.
Then, however, you've got Batman number 16, Batman number 17, Justice League of America number 1, Super Sons. Then at number 6, you've got Walking Dead. So still no more true Marvel continuity Marvel comics. All-Star Batman number 7 is at number 7, oddly enough. Then at number 8 is another Star Wars comic, Star Wars number 28.
The flagship title.
And then you've got Justice League of America Rebirth,
Number
1. And then number 10 is Justice League number 14. So there's not a single Marvel continuity, Marvel Universe, 616, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
true Marvel comic book on this list in the
flipping,
top 10.
It's flipping all Batman and Justice League.
Yet, Marvel doesn't have, Marvel still has the lion's
share.
Something wrong there.
Yeah. Well, Marvel is really tanking on their, obviously on their Marvel U titles,
right?
So, which segues perfectly into our next topic,
okay?
Which is this return to fundamentals.
So thing. Right. So there's been lots and lots of talk on the internet about Marvel returning to their what they're calling their legacy characters. They're getting rid of the whole. I don't know who coined the phrase, but it's a good phrase. It's social justice warriors. So they're talking about, you know, Thor became a woman. Ms. Marvel became a Muslim character. You know, Spider-Man became...
Miles Morales. Iron Man was a teenage girl.
Right. You know, so...
All that stuff.
All this stuff. They changed around...
Korean.
Hulk
became... Not even... That's just another Hulk, though, right?
Right. It's a different Hulk. But still, that there was no real Hulk comic.
Right. That was the Hulk. So that was the Hulk, right? Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
So they have all these social justice warriors, as they're calling characters, and clearly Marvel has. I think, you know, they said, well, it was an experiment. If it lasted, there's no experiment. That would have been in. That would have been it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But clearly now they're calling it an experiment to see how well it did, and it tanked.
Yeah.
People want to read the Logan Wolverine. They want to read Tony Stark Iron Man. They want to read Bruce Banner Hulk.
Yeah, right. You know what, Chris? There's been some nasty, even on our site, Comic Book Daily.
Yeah.
There's been some great debate, I think.
Oh, great debate. Absolutely.
Because you know what? I don't think you're right or wrong on this. And I think that's what the debaters, I hope, can kind of realize halfway through the debate.
Right.
Is that this person has an opinion that they
totally entitled to it.
Entitled to.
Yeah.
But you have yours that you're entitled to. And I think but you see it online. There's name slinging and mud dragon and all that kind of stuff. You're this if you don't support that, or you're this if you don't support that, or you're a whatever and you're a whatever. It's just nasty, right? It's just like not good. And it's to the point where I found, and I could be wrong here, the people defending the Bruce Banner Hulk and the Tony Stark Iron Man, the moment they started defending the fact that they wanted, they were getting called out as these names.
Right.
It's like, and I thought that was wrong. I thought, oh my God, where are you going with this?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy or the girl or whoever's reading this likes Tony Stark as their Iron Man. It doesn't mean anything other than the fact that they like Tony Stark as their Iron Man.
Exactly.
But it's a slippery slope. And it was
totally.
As soon as you enter that, you're afraid to open your mouth.
So what are you saying? You don't like.
You're not for women.
You're not for anti-female.
Are you racist? Are you what do you call it when you don't like women? Whatever it is, a bigot. No, that's not a bigot.
A misogynist.
Whatever, yeah. Is that what you are?
Yeah.
I just kind of like Tony Stark. No, no, that's where it was going.
Right.
And it was unhealthy.
Totally unhealthy. And I get it. I get it where people are very passionate. I mean, clearly the comic book industry needs passionate people. Otherwise, we wouldn't have lasted as long as we have.
I got personal experience, and I don't know. I don't know, and then hopefully it doesn't shed a poor light on me and on my thoughts.
Couldn't possibly.
But when I was younger,
and
you know, and I was gotten heavy into it, and I really enjoyed it, and I did well with it. But I was into Taekwondo,
right?
The Korean martial
art. Yeah,
you know, I did a lot of it. I went to Canadian championships, and I competed a lot, and all that kind of stuff. And I remember talking to another one of my guys we were with, because we had a beautiful instructor. He was just fantastic. He was just crazy good.
Right.
Right? And he was of Polish descent.
Okay.
And me and my buddy were talking. I think we were in Regina or something like that for the Canadian championships.
Oh, okay. Right.
And we're lamenting that we didn't have an authentic Korean instructor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we wanted, you know, because to us in our P-Brains. We thought it would be more authentic if a Korean was teaching us.
Right.
How stupid that is, right?
Yeah.
And,
right.
But that's how people, you know, there's little thoughts into your mind. It doesn't mean you're a good person or a bad person. You just have these little thoughts that enter your mind.
That's right. No, and, that's totally the way it is.
And I remember getting into a debate about the new Bond.
Oh, yeah.
And
like recently or ages?
Recently.
Okay, yeah.
And the guy they were trying to pick, when the talk of getting Urbis Alba was
in. Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I absolutely love. Luther is one of my favorite shows.
I think he'd be an
awesome
Bond.
That guy's fantastic. I think he would be fantastic Bond.
Yeah, me too.
But my argument goes, like, I want a Bond that is an Anglo-Saxon Bond.
Right.
I don't want him to be Polish.
Yeah,
I don't want him to be Chinese.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be East African. I don't want him to be French.
Right.
I don't even want him to be Scottish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Scottish is almost close to Anglo.
Yeah,
I want him because, I don't know, in my head when I watched the Bonds, it was that Anglo-Saxony. Flipping Sean Connery was a Scotsman.
He's Scottish anyway.
You know,
and he
played him. So that's how stupid it is, right?
Yeah.
But again, I don't know if I was doing something wrong by wanting that. I hope I wasn't.
I don't think so. I think
right?
Again, you know, this gets back to what we were talking about before. People have their likes and their dislikes,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong for wanting that.
Yeah. Right? I'm not I'm not even close. I'm Slavic. They wouldn't even let me near the club.
If you're a purist of the character,
right?
And there are a lot of people out there that are like that. If you're a purist of the character, you want to maintain a certain amount of consistency for how the character is being represented. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Whereas other people would say, well, why can't we have Tilda Swinton be the next James Bond?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I for one, I think Idris Elba would do a great job.
I think he'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
By the first movie, he'd be my, you know, second favorite Bond, because it's always going to be Connery.
It's
going to be my favorite Bond.
Okay,
but,
anyway. Getting back to the Marvel.
Yeah, sorry.
So Marvel looks like they're going to go back to... So they're already starting by going back to bringing the old X-Men line. So they're coming out with X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue.
Mm-hmm.
So X-Men Gold is going to have, and this harkens back to the original, or not say original, but the days when X-Men split up between X-Men Uncanny and X-Men. So now there's going to be the X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue. But now there's probably going to be more of a return to the old status quo for Thor and Iron Man and Hulk and all those familiar characters, right? So, you know, although Captain America is going through this whole Secret Empire thing right now where he's, an agent of Hydra.
Right, yeah. How much does that hurt for a purist Cap fan
Chris? It's killing me, man.
Yeah.
It's killing me. I understand.
You're killing me down here!
For the
You're
story.
Killing me!
It's killing me, though. But you know what? I don't even like his shield. Anyway, it's not going to be started.
Stand target, Chris.
Yeah,
stand target.
Target. Anyways, right. I get it. I get why people want to have their... I think my problem with it is, why do they have to call these new people the same character? So why do they have to... Why can't they just make... Okay, so
simple, Chris. They're simple. Economics.
Okay, but hold on. So
we got a million people invested in the Captain America character.
Right.
So it's a vehicle, an easy door opener for the new,
you know what?
Alter ego.
Okay, but here, I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about how this isn't anything new.
Right.
So when I first started reading comics, I shouldn't say first started, but when I was reading comics back in the day, it was a time when Jim Rhodes became Iron Man.
Right.
He was Tony Stark's best friend, took over the mantle of Tony Stark when Tony Stark decided to give up being Iron Man.
I remember.
Right?
Yep.
And I had no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was fluid. It was within continuity.
Right. It made sense. It was part of the storytelling.
It was part of the storyline.
Yeah, and you bought it.
And I bought
and
it.
You liked
it. I get it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. This is heavy-handed and forced on us.
Right, it's just the rug pulled from under you.
Yeah, you're like...
The other one was, you've read the last 10 issues, you see it coming,
right,
and it's, okay, yeah, it happened, good, right?
Exactly.
That kind of
10,
thing.
Maybe 40 issues.
Right, I get
it. He was his best friend for so long,
and
he decides he's an alcoholic, doesn't want to do this anymore,
right?
I get it. Whereas this is just heavy-handed, and you know what? You know, we're going to just change everything you've ever known about Marvel Comics.
Right.
And that's the problem I always
right.
had.
Right. And that's the problem more fans have, but the argument from the side that's for this change, and I think we're all, how can I say this? I think we're all for this
but
change.
My problem, my point is, Okay, you know what? Make a new character.
Yeah.
Make, if you want to make, you know, this Amadeus Cho.
Uh-huh.
Make him, don't call him the Hulk.
Yeah, call him
something else.
The
Bulk.
The Blob, or the
whatever.
Yeah.
Call him something different. And make, if they're that good at writing, then write him as a good character.
Yeah, but they have to lean on the character because the character is there. Now, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
Ask me.
Do you think, remember like the late 90s, the internet?
I remember that thing called the internet.
Yeah, when the boom happened and you know, all these companies that aren't worth anything were worth $1 billion
because
you know, the internet's coming. But everybody rushed it and it all collapsed.
Right.
But now it's all back.
It's all kind of back because now it's
But
it's,
because they rushed it. So the stock market rushed it.
Right.
They sold the stocks when the internet wasn't quite ready.
Right.
They knew it was coming.
Yep.
They knew it's going to happen.
Yep.
They knew that that's the future.
Yep.
But investors came, and then the results didn't happen immediately, so they all sold off.
Crashed. Yeah.
So is this the same thing?
I think it's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good analogy. I think, and this is what I'm getting at. So now maybe Marvel can say, hey, you know what? We're going to create a new character.
Yeah. But do it over time.
Do it logically.
Or if we change this character into Thor again, we're going to make sure that we set it up.
Right. Set it up. Right. And the thing with comics is you can say, well, I set it up for 10 issues. That's not enough time. You need to set these things up for 2-3 years, right?
Yeah.
So I get it.
Anyway, at the end of that Marvel thing, what were some of the titles that they're going back for? So I think they're going back with Iron Man.
It says Iron Man, Thor Hulk,
and
it says,
more.
It says and more. Now,
right.
Now,
with Cap, it's interesting reading the story on Cap. I guess because of the political environment in the United States right now, you know, kind of anti the government that's in power right now, I guess, from many quarters, I think, including the publishing quarter that's Marvel. I think they've written a storyline in Captain America that's kind of reflective of today's impatience with...
Right.
The president of the United States.
Right.
And so it looks like they're not taking that back, but it looks like after that they're going to go back
The whole Secret Empire they're still keeping with. And they want to flush that out. And, of course, that's going to be a big sort of event that's coming up right now.
Right.
But, yeah, interesting times with Marvel, that's for sure. And, you know, what's not suffering is the Marvel movies.
Oof.
Right? That's always doing well. And
we'll get to the Marvel movies
a
little later.
You know what? Let's have a bit of a cleanse here. Uh-huh. We'll have a quick musical interlude. And then we're going to get back, and I got some questions to see if I can see how well do you really know your comic books there, Walt? You think you're all that in a bag of chips?
Gulp.
We'll soon find out.
My baby to a movie show, so I can try to smooch her while the lights are low. But she won't cuddle to a story of romance. There's only one way I've got a chance. It takes the Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein, or Dracula to put her in the mood for love. It takes the cat, girl, dog, boy, creature from the Black Lagoon to make her feel like making love. It takes a monster from outer space to make my baby want my embrace. And when I hold her, she's like a dream. If only she can hear somebody scream.
Swing it, baby, swing it.
Did you like that one? Haven't heard that in a while.
Love it. You know, Chris, again, I think it's just of that time, but the music from that time, it just swings, baby.
Oh, it really does. Yeah. It really does. All right.
Hey, listen, that brings us into the next segment of the show, which is brought to you by Chump Monkey Potato Chips. Crispy, crunchy, but a little hard to swallow.
Sometimes a little chewy, too.
But a little hard to swallow. Anyway, pick that up at your local comic book shop. All right, anyway, Chris, so I heard that you have a...
You keep on talking about how, oh, I'm Mr. Big Shot.
Oh, I'm all that.
I'm all that.
I'm all that.
I'm the Overstreet Price Guy advisor. Overstreet
Price Guy advisor. I do say that at the beginning of every show, if you notice.
You know what?
I say it loud, and Chris, and I say it proud.
I'm going to see how well do you really know your comics?
All right.
Can I have a computer in front of you? No.
Cold turkey.
This one should be an easy one for you, first one.
That's what she said.
All right. So I know you know the first appearance of Archie Andrews.
Sure do.
Okay. Yeah. But do you know the first appearance of Reggie?
Why are you doing this to me?
Reggie. First appearance.
Okay, hold on.
Reggie.
Hold on. Pep 22 was first appearance of Archie.
Yep. And his
Betty and Jughead.
Right.
Veronica Lake Lodge was in Pep number 26.
Yep.
And Reggie was in it's either Pep 24 or Archie 1.
According to my notes, yeah. It's Jackpot Comics number 5.
Oh, my goodness.
Jackpot Comics number 5.
Wow. I'm disappointed I didn't know that.
Okay. All right. You know what? It was a toughie.
Yeah, it was a toughie. Who likes Reggie?
My
focus is on Betty and Veronica.
All right. Okay. So you know what? Let me ask you something maybe a little bit more up more your alley. Okay.
All right.
What's the most expensive modern comic book?
Wow.
So...
From what era?
I'm going to say the modern era. So like, let's say the last
20
years.
You're going to be like that, are you?
Yeah.
You're going to play that me that way,
but hey, you're the Overstreet Price Guide advisor.
Walking Dead might have a run for it.
Oh.
Walking Dead. My goodness. Would it be something with a really small print run, and that's why some sort of
Walking Dead
number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is. Yeah. Walking Dead number one.
All right.
Selling
$3,000 US for a 9.8.
I read somewhere it was $11,000
for a 9.9.
Yeah. So
nuts.
Now I know I realize grading has a lot to do with this stuff. Yeah. However, $11,000.
$11,000 for a comic book from
less than 20
2003.
Years ago.
Yeah. All right, so I technically got that one.
Technically, yeah, I'm going to say you got that. Ding. All right.
Ding.
Okay.
Chris, I'm on a roll.
You're on a roll.
You can pretty well ask me anything right now. You can ask me about Sumerian architecture right now, and I'll get it.
Okay. So, now, variant covers are all the rage right now.
Except variant covers.
So, I want to know if you know... What is the first? I'm gonna say the first marketed variant cover. So I'm not talking about like a misprint of say Star Wars where it's 30 or 35 cents.
Right.
But the first marketed variant cover, one that was advertised as shipping with an alternate cover, with two covers.
My goodness,
shipping with two covers.
Now hold on, I'm gonna pull a rabbit out of my. I'll say hat.
Okay.
Did you know that? The very first comic book ever, Funnies on Parade,
1933. Yeah.
A radio premium giveaway.
Yeah.
By Procter & Gamble.
Right.
Actually had a variant cover.
Really? I did not know that.
They, Wanamaker, the toy company in New York City, like a toy chain.
Yeah.
They bought the remainders and did a new cover with Wanamaker on it.
Oh, interesting.
And there actually is a variant cover to the very first comic book. Prophetic,
really?
Prophetic in a way, isn't it?
That's very interesting.
Comic book.
All right.
But, okay, I'm stalling for time because I don't know the answer.
You know what? Whatever
point.
Your answer is, you completely redeemed yourself.
Okay.
Because that's a good... I did not know that.
Okay. Okay, give me the year. Give me the year.
It's in the 80s.
For Christ's sakes, in the 80s.
In the 80s. Yep.
So it's a totally different art cover.
Yep. Totally different art cover.
Because I know Spider-Man, the McFarlane number one.
Before that.
Way
before that.
You know, the gold and all that crap.
Yeah, it was about 4 or 5 years before that.
Marvel or DC?
More. DC.
DC.
Yeah. Post-crisis.
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 Batman?
What's the other big one?
Justice League.
Oh, come on.
Superman.
There you go. So it's Man of Steel, number one.
That's right. Yeah, it had one to six. John Byrne. You're right. It had the different cover.
But I had to. I gotta say, marketed. Right? So it's not something like the famous funnies.
You're right. Oh, I knew that. I mean, I remember that book. But back then, we didn't even just like.
It was just two covers.
Yeah, two covers.
We didn't consider them variants. Yeah, but that's now being considered a variant.
Good question, Chris. Tough question.
I mean,
one for three. I'm like Edward Encarnacion wants to be right now.
My next question is I don't know how I thought of this, but believe it or not, I was able to find an answer to it, which I was even more impressed.
All right.
So, what is the first appearance? Now, okay, first appearance of drugs and alcohol in a mainstream-ish comic type storyline. So, and I'm including mainstream comics from Europe as well.
Was it Teenage Dope Fiends from Harvey?
Nope.
Before that. Wow.
Yeah, well, at least I'm pretty sure it's before that.
It was in the 50s, 40s, yeah. 50s.
Well, you might.
Okay. Yeah, you gave me a hint. Yeah, obviously. It's going to be. It won't be Asterix and Obelix, so it has to be Tintin.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Has to be Tintin. It has to be something about opium or something like that, or Tintin in Cairo or something like that. Tintin.
It is Tintin.
Something about Tintin.
Tintin and the Soviets.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tintin is first. Now, I don't know if there was something in some obscure comic.
Fair enough.
But it's a mainstream type comic.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Good for you, yes.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Still didn't get it, kind of.
Yeah, it was close.
I got the Tintin part, but I didn't get the issue.
Last question.
All right.
And
I'm deflated right now.
Couldn't find, and you're not going to get this one.
Okay.
Last question.
So if I do get it.
If you do get it.
I'll be inflated.
I'll buy you a beer.
Okay.
Longest run of an artist or writer or both on any comic book. Longest run
of an artist or writer,
right?
On any comic book,
correct?
Is it an American comic?
Okay. Well, so hold on. So now here's, according to my notes, I'm going to say no, but that's it is a misnomer because I don't want you to think it's a European comic. It's a Canadian comic.
Oh. Prince Valiant.
No. So. Cerebus with 300 issues by Dave Sim.
That 300 issues is the longest?
Well, so here's the thing. I did some
here's
reading.
Here's the thing.
I did some reading and some researching. Now, Kurt Swan did 30 years of Superman.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily continuous.
In a row. I get it. Yeah.
So, you know, he did Superman and Action Comics.
You know, harking back, it's a beautiful bridge and a segue to a past topic we were talking about today.
What's that?
I asked Dave Sim once, hey, Dave, you got to come to the shop to do a signing.
Yeah, why not?
Sim's up in
Kitchener,
and it's like an hour away, right? Because we're in Hamilton. And Dave goes, I'm not allowed out. I need people to sign this petition that I don't hate women.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he got some sort of thing against him that, I don't know if it's, so anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was just nasty. I go, all right, listen, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, good luck with all that.
But I hung up on him.
Yeah.
But,
So anyways, as I said, I could be wrong on that, but that's what I found as a continuous writer or artist or both.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. And that is some of the later Cerebus stuff is some of the most celebrated sequential art.
Oh, yeah.
There
absolutely.
Is. You know,
absolutely.
Some just people rave by it.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, let's talk about, I haven't yet.
Yeah.
Have you checked out the new Wolverine?
I haven't had a chance. Have not had a chance. I mean, it's only been out for 5 days. So I haven't had a chance to go see it. I do want to see it, and I want to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
I do want to see it in the theater. Normally, you know what? Normally, I'm not a fan of the X-Men and its brood-type movies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went to go see X-Men Apocalypse. I actually walked out of the theater. Mm-hmm. I thought it was terrible. Mm-hmm. The Wolverine movies are usually a bit of an exception. Deadpool was obviously a huge exception.
Yeah.
But the Wolverine's one, I can usually take him or leave him.
I like that one where he went to Japan.
That was a good one.
I like that one.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was
with Silver Samurai.
Yeah, that was okay. And I do want to go see Logan because it looks really good. And I've been hearing lots of great things
about it. Yeah, me too. Me too. It did really well on the weekend.
Yes. Yeah, it looks like they made $85 million opening.
North America.
In North America. Mm-hmm. And then, so now it's, what is this? Hold on a second here. Best bow so far in 2017 with the fifth best opening ever for an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Now this marks Hugh Jackman's final last stand as Wolverine.
17 years playing the Wolverine.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Now, of course, he didn't play it 17 times.
I know, right? But he must have played it 10.
Yeah, it's what, probably five or six X-Men movies,
couple Wolverine movies. Yeah, close to that.
Probably close to 10.
Close to 10. So,
you know, so it's getting up there. But
what I like the trend is honestly, I like the trend where I read about the movie that it had a low budget. It had under $100 million budget, which it's kind of like tells me that they went earthy with it, and they didn't do a lot of CGI and a lot of special effects. Perfect. And it's like it was more based on this old character,
man Logan.
And great storytelling, and when you're invested in the character like that, and you just do some good storytelling.
Absolutely,
those are just two ingredients. That's all you need.
Well,
right?
even I remember even the Deadpool movie didn't have a huge budget to it, and it did phenomenally well as well.
What is it, Chris? What is it? You're a smart guy, smarter than I am.
I don't know about that, but anyway, okay. Go on.
What is it about Hollywood that ruins almost every movie ever made with the dreaded finale scene?
Right.
Where the rest of the movie's fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then it just goes haywire
at the very
end. And they spend $300 million on the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not even going to name the examples of movies because there's so many movies like that.
Right.
It's just like, it's always about this, you know, grandiose. It's like a fireworks,
huge
right?
Finale,
it's like the fireworks.
Yeah.
It's the huge finale. Yeah. It has to be a huge finale or it's not the movie. I mean, I haven't seen this one, but I hope it's not like that.
I agree. I hope it's not as well. Now, you know, you mentioned something. I thought this is very interesting. I don't know. You like to peruse the websites about comic books and movies and stuff like that as much as I do. You may not have seen this, though.
No.
So this movie, this Logan movie, which is doing very well, cost under $100 million.
Yep.
Already close to breaking even.
Yep.
So have you read, in fact, that the budget for the Infinity War, so the Avengers Infinity War, now, I'm going to caveat this because it's not known if it's meant to be for both part one and part two
right.
or just part one.
Right.
The budget has been capped at $1 billion.
Jesus.
$1 billion.
Pardon me for taking the Lord's name in vain.
I hope.
And that's for both.
That is for both.
I hope it's for like eight of them.
$1 billion. That's the budgetary cap for the Infinity War movie.
My goodness.
Now, what is Robert Downey Jr. getting just half of that?
I know.
Like,
I'm sure
I'm sure a good portion of that is all going to the actors.
Yeah,
right? I mean, I know there's going to be fantastic special effects, but the actors are getting paid a pretty penny for all that.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so Wolverine, I hope to go check it out within the next couple of weeks. Chris, hopefully during one of these shows, we'll review the movie ourselves.
Absolutely. All right. You know what? Let's. We have to have a quick musical interlude here just before we end the show here. What do you want me to play here? Let me see what I can find.
Krantz,
here.
Maybe Chris.
Oh, you
Krantz?
Know what? Nah, I'm not gonna. You know, I'm not gonna play any. This is a Krantz free show.
You're holding out on me.
I'm holding out on you. However, you know what? I've got something here that I think you're gonna like. And if you're if you're anywhere near a television in the 1980s, you'll remember this fondly.
Yes, sirree, Benny Hill.
And just a few mm-hmm. seconds of that. That's all we need.
I love it. Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Hey, Chris, we don't have much time, and I was you were talking about Wolverine there for a second.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the movie. And for some reason, I don't know why, I tripped upon a list of the most appearances by Marvel characters.
Oh, interesting.
Ever.
Okay.
In a comic book. This is Comic Vine. I have the DC list and the Marvel list, too. We don't have much time, so let's just try to breeze,
okay,
blow through it.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you who's first, who's second, who's third,
okay,
or anything like
am
that.
Am I guessing?
But, yeah. The in Marvel Comics, in comic books.
Yes.
I don't know what, obviously a guest appearance or obviously whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is the number one appeared comic book character in Marvel Comics?
I'm going to say Spider-Man.
Spider-Man made 11,990 appearances.
Wow.
And he is in number two.
Wolverine.
Wolverine made 12,773 appearances.
It was a toss-up.
Yeah.
Now.
Number three. That's a tough one. Because you knew the first two.
I'm going to say Deadpool.
Deadpool is not even on here.
Oh, right.
Too new.
Okay. So let me guess. Hold on.
Favorite of yours.
Captain America.
9,017 appearances.
Really? Yeah. I guess Avengers. Okay, yeah.
Now, and the Golden Age Cap and stuff like that. Now, the rest of the list is just so heavy with X-Men.
Right.
I mean, in top 20, you got Cyclops, Storm, Beast,
right,
Iceman, Colossus, yep, Professor X, Jean Grey, Angel, Nightcrawler, Rogue. It's just like, right?
Yeah.
Because the X-Men were so popular in so many miniseries and so many series. Other notables, which I found interesting, Cyclops was number four.
Okay. So who was number three?
Captain America.
Oh, right.
Cyclops is number four. And our friend Iron Man, it's been number five.
Oh, it really
surprised me.
Well, Avengers again, right?
Again, Avengers, right. You're right. Storm, Beast. Yeah. Now, number six surprised me a lot because he's one of the Fantastic Four, but that wouldn't have been the one that I picked to be the number one appeared Fantastic Four.
I would have thought, it would have been Iceman.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, sorry. Human Torch.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Thing?
Thing is the number one Fantastic Four appearance.
That's surprising.
He had the two in one, and he had his own series.
But still, that's not that many.
I know.
Wow.
And then you have Thor.
Yep.
And then you have Iceman. And then you have Hulk. And then, Colossus, Professor X, Jean Grey, Angel. It's super duper
heavy. What's the last one you have on that list?
On the top 30, I think here is Psylocke, another X-Men.
Okay.
And number 29 and 28 and 27. Remember, you got Gambit on here, Magneto on here, Emma Frost on here, Kitty Pryde on here. But 29, 28, 27 are old standbys. Daredevil, Nick Fury, and Doc Strange.
All right. Yeah. Hey, do you have the DC one with
you? I have the DC one.
Okay, quickly. We've got 2 minutes here.
Okay. The number one appeared character in print.
I got to say Batman.
13,851 appearances.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, then Superman?
Superman, 12,728. Now, the number three drops off to 5,800, like flipping 35%.
It's got to be Wonder Woman.
She's number four at 5,757.
Green Lantern.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
All right. Think Batman.
Oh, Robin.
Dick Grayson.
Really? Yeah.
By default, right?
Makes sense. Yeah, I never thought
default.
Of that.
Yeah. So Batman, Superman, Dick Grayson, Wonder Woman.
Now, hold on. Don't tell me what the fifth one is. Let me see if I can guess. Is it Hal Jordan?
Hal Jordan is number six. Number five owes her high to her connection with Superman.
Oh, Lois Lane.
Yeah.
Okay.
And number seven owes his connection to
Batman,
Dick Grayson, and Batman.
Alfred.
The number one villain of all time between last question between Marvel and DC, the most appearances by a villain. Let me tell you right now. Okay, you tell me right now the most appearances by a villain of either Marvel or DC in print in comics.
Of a villain. Oh.
Time's running out.
I know. Joker. I knew it wasn't Joker, but I had to guess somebody.
2,331 appearances for the Joker. He does make the top 20.
Okay, so let me guess quickly here, quickly. Doc Ock.
Not even on the list.
Oh, my goodness. Kingpin.
Not even on the list.
Oh. Catwoman.
She's on the list, but way low.
I don't. Okay, we're running out of time here. What
okay, think one of the two. Think Superman. Think X-Men. And pick.
Magneto.
Magneto is the number one appeared villain of all time. 4,250 appearances, followed by Lex Luthor, 3,152 appearances. All right. Hey, all listen, right. Comic culture is done. Everything is done on comic culture by Chris Owen. And we're on comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, and always on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio stations. Please, please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day.